Well, hello, folks, and welcome to this edition of My Car Guru. I have been deceived. Don't you hate that? Don't you just really get frosted? That was my dad's word. You get frosted when somebody deceives you and you find out about it. Boy, I do. It's cost me money before. And, I guess there's worse kinds of deceit. At least I'm not suffering any bodily harm due to the deceit. But I was deceived, and so were a bunch of other people. I was tracking an auction. I know. I was looking at another vehicle, 1974 Ford Bronco. And it was on a very trusted website. And this Bronco looked really good. It had been restored to a very high level after my initial run through, looking through the pictures and stuff like that. And so I started digging in a little bit because there are a couple things that just did not look right. One was a sticker that was on the door. And I kept looking at it and I'm thinking, well, why is that there? That's a modern sticker. They didn't print those in 1974. I don't think they had dot matrix printers in 1974. Maybe they did, but this was not a 1974 sticker. And so that got me thinking. And then I was reading some of the comments that some of the people were making. So this is one of those auctions where you can actually make comments. It's not Bring a Trailer. It's on Hemmings, which is used to be an old publication. Still is. They have a printed version. It's called Hemmings Motor News. And so they have a very big online presence. And they saw how successful Bring a Trailer was. So they decided, well, let's do one of these ourselves. So they have an auction as well. But I don't know, theirs is different, because if they don't like a comment that you're making, if they think that there's a possibility it might hurt the success of the auction, they don't let your comment get posted. I don't like that, because I want to hear what other people have to say, even if it is wrong. I want to hear it. I want to be able to look at it, analyze it, determine for myself whether it's legitimate or not. Well, I had a legitimate concern. Several people asked who restored the vehicle, and the guy said, well, it was restored by such and such and such and such. Well, I did a little bit of research. I Googled the name of that business. I'm not going to say the name of the business because I don't want to get sued. I don't know if I would. But so I looked it up. They don't restore Broncos. They sell Bronco parts. And so I dug a little deeper to see what kind of parts they sell. They sell complete chassis of Broncos. Well, complete bodies. It's not the frame, the suspension, and all those parts of the vehicle. It's the body. It's the doors, the fenders, the hood, the quarter panels, the interior panels, the inner fenders, and so forth. The entire firewall, even the windshield. Okay, they sell all that as one piece. Is it an original Ford Bronco piece? Was it made by Ford? No, it was not. It was made by some other company that has developed, engineered these panels to be like the Ford Bronco from 1966 to 77, but it's not original Ford parts. So if this thing is advertised as a 1974 Ford Bronco, is it one? No, it's not one. There's very few parts on this vehicle that were actually built in 1974. But this person on this auction has basically described this vehicle as a fully restored nut and bolt restoration of a 1974 Bronco. And he's selling it as a 1974 Bronco. And Lenny Lawson was getting ready to bid on it until I started doing a little bit of research. The moral of the story is, don't believe everything that you see on the internet. That's one of the reasons why you need somebody who knows cars to help you when you're buying a car if you don't know anything about them. Modern cars are different, but vintage cars, there's a lot of fraud going on right now when it comes to vintage cars. And, it could be from a Mustang to a Camaro to a 57 Chevy. You have got to be able to trace the history back and talk to the people who restored the vehicle so you know what the true story is, because you can hide a lot of things with a paint job. And so I was looking at a 1948 Lincoln Continental the other day. It's a convertible. And I was thinking about, maybe there's some room. If I paid a certain price for it, I might be able to sell it on Bring a Trailer or something else. And they're telling me that it's original paint, original interior. Now, you know, I'm actually looking at this vehicle. I'm sitting in it, starting it, and so forth. And the paint looks bad enough that it just might be original paint, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's supposed to be the original interior. Well, it's beige. And so when I was sitting in it, I looked down at the seat, and I said, boy, this fabric, it's supposed to be leather, but it feels weird. And then I looked at the piping around the edge of the seat, and I noticed that, wait a minute, some of that is maroon. Whoever restored this vehicle, I guess they dyed or painted the seats beige. And so, you know, is that something you can correct? Not very easily. So, you know, that kind of scared me off. I mean, who does that? Why not just replace the leather, you know, on the vehicle? So I start looking at that. I'm thinking, okay, if they're going to do that, what other shortcuts did they take? That's where you have to be careful. So anyway, what did I do about the Bronco? Well, I called Hemmings, and they put me on hold. I was on hold for about 10 minutes. I'm not going to bid on the vehicle. I'm just trying to do a good deed for the people who, I mean, the bidding on it was already up to $55,000. And I don't think most of the people that are bidding on that vehicle, if any of them, know that this is a complete reproduction body. I mean, if I'm buying something old, I want it to be old. Don't you? I mean, you can modernize it. You can fix it. You can spray paint here and there. And yeah, I mean, occasionally you're going to have to replace maybe a floor panel or something because it's rusted through. But, you know, you've got to disclose that information. I mean, if he had just said in the listing that, yeah, this was a complete replacement body, no problem. That's fine. Where did the body come from? So forth. Everything makes sense. The world is good now, as long as everybody knows that. But, you know, you don't list something online and just think that you're going to sucker somebody, you know, into paying way too much money for something. You know what? I bet the guy who bought it, he's, you know, just an everyday citizen that doesn't know that much about cars. He says he bought it for his wife, and she said it drove like a 74 Bronco. Well, you know, they're very bouncy. I think the name is appropriate. Bucking Bronco is what they should have called it. But she didn't like it, and so now he's selling it. Well, he bought it from someplace in Pittsburgh, and I bet they didn't tell him it wasn't a 74 Bronco. It just looks like a 74 Bronco. So anyway, you have to watch out for this stuff. Now, you may not be going out and buying a car, an antique car or something like that, but somebody tells you a piece of furniture is antique, it should be an antique. You know, you just can't take people's word for stuff anymore, unfortunately. Some people you can, but you just don't know who is being honest sometimes. I'm just trying to protect you and give you some insight into things. People, so I had somebody insult me the other day. They said, well, why would I listen to a radio show about cars from a car dealer? You can't trust car dealers. And I said, ouchie, that's hurtful. Oh, I don't mean you. Well, I'm a car dealer, you know. You're going to lump us all together with a statement like that. You're going to hurt my feelings. So, you know, my goal is, as a car dealer, is to shed some light on, you know, some of the things that car dealers do. Most of them are good, but, you know, some of them are shady. They've somehow found a way to justify what they do. You know, buyer beware, right? Okay, as a long segment, I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, sometimes it is hard to meet people's expectations. And some people just don't know what kind of expectations they should have. I guess everybody kind of has an expectation, come to think of it. You know, when they're going out to buy a car and shopping around, some people are just excited about, you know, seeing a new car and buying a new car. Other people are saying, gosh, I wish I didn't have to deal with a salesperson. You know, that it's a sad thing that kind of thought pattern has to get in the way of doing what you're trying to do. But unfortunately, there are a lot of behaviors out there that, and it's not just in the car business, it's in a lot of different businesses where, you know, you don't get what you expect. I went to a school one time. I had to go to it in order to become an Oldsmobile dealer. At the time, I was a Chevrolet dealer and a Mazda dealer, and we were partnering up with some people that we loved and respected very much and still do. And we were out of the deal, we were getting an Oldsmobile franchise, which was a pretty big, good thing back then. It turned out to be not so good. But Oldsmobile was a good brand for many, 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 many years. And so anyway, we got the franchise. But in order for me to be able to proceed, I had to go to Florida and go through this school. And one of the things that they taught us in one of the classes was about the concept of expectations. So when you go into a business, I mean, you're going in, let's say that you've never been there before, but you've seen an advertisement or you've, you know, seen their signs, or and you have an expectation in your head of what it's going to be. And they refer to that as the level of expectation. So let's say it's this new ice cream store. And you've heard good things about it and everything. So you got these, you got a picture in your head, and you, let's say you want a banana split. Okay. And so you go into the ice cream store and you've got this picture in your mind. I just can't wait to get a hold of this banana split. And then they lay it in front of you and you look at it and you go, ew, that's not what I was expecting for a banana split. I mean, everybody told me this was going to be a great place. And I mean, the banana's brown and the ice cream is all melted and it just doesn't look good. I don't even eat bananas. I should have used a chocolate sundae or something like that as an example. I didn't though. So that banana split is just not meeting the level of your expectation. You know what that's called? That's called the level of reality. And so if you're running a business and the level of expectation or the level of reality is always lower than the level of expectation, then you're not going to be in business very long. If the level of reality is better than the level of expectation, like when you go in to buy a car from someplace and you're expecting to be beat up, you know, you're the person that came in saying, gosh, I wish I didn't have to deal with a car salesman. But then you run into a really good professional car salesman who knows his stuff. I'm going to say his, not meaning to offend anybody. He knows his product, knows how to talk to you, disarms you with his charm, and is genuine, a wonderful person. No pressure. You know, just lets you make a decision, does a great job on the product presentation, showing you how everything works, does a great job evaluating your trade-in. You know, you go on a test drive, and he handles that just perfectly. Doesn't it make you feel good, you know, about that person? And then when it comes to price, they present you with a price, and maybe it's a little higher than you wanted to pay. And you say, you know, I really didn't think I was going to have to pay that much. And they say, well, what did you have in mind? And you tell him, and he said, well, let me go talk to the boss. He goes, comes back, says, I tell you what, we can't do that, but this is what we can do. And you say, well, that's fine. That looks good. Let's just do it. So it ends up being a great experience. Your level of reality is off the charts compared to what your expectation was. Are you ever going to want to go back and buy a car from those people? Of course you are. You know, let's say you go someplace else, and it's just the opposite experience, and your level of reality is way under the level of expectation. You probably won't recommend them, right? You probably give them a bad Google rating or blast them on Facebook like a lot of people do. So why does this happen? Well, it happens because the people who own the business and who hire the people and train the people, their expectations of their employees are too low, or they're hiring the wrong people. Because in any business, there's one other component. You've got the level of expectation, you've got the level of reality, and then you have what we call MOT, M-O-T, moments of truth. These are the critical moments that can happen in a business that can kill it if you're not careful. You know, a moment of truth would be walking into the showroom and how you're greeted by maybe the receptionist or by the salesperson that comes up to you. You know, it could be how he's dressed or she's dressed. It could be, you know, the look on their face, or, you know, maybe they walk up to you and they got reflective sunglasses on. Don't you hate that? You can't see their eyes. You know, if I ever see a salesperson approaching a customer with sunglasses on, My expectation is that they pull their sunglasses off and they ask the customer, if it's really bright outside, they ask the customer for permission. You mind if I put my sunglasses back on? It's just really bright. And most customers, no problem. But you don't start that way. These are little, they seem like little things, but there are so many moments of truth. You know, just the car dealer example or this sales transaction. You know, if the guy had disrespected their trade-in and really, you know, just kind of said, well, boy, that's ugly. I don't think the boss is going to do very much on that. You know, those types of comments. Or he actually does kick the tires. You know, you have so many other things in the presentation. Let's say the customer said, what's that button do? I don't know. Never seen that button before. Well, how do you turn on the navigation? Not sure this thing has navigation. Let me go ask my manager. Are those moments of truth? Do they affect or impact the level of reality? Yeah, they sure do. And, you know, and that's an area where whose fault it is important. Is it the salesperson's fault? No, he didn't hire himself. He didn't train him. Somebody else did. Somebody else told him what to say. Now, so I'm a new car dealer. I've got a Ford franchise. I've got a Nissan franchise. Do all my people do it perfectly? No. But it is a constant effort to train them, to remind them about these moments of truth and where, you know, they can either lose a sale or gain a sale by how well they perform in exceeding the expectations of the people. You know, the banana split, you don't feel as good handing over your money for something that you're disappointed in. You know, I've had this happen in restaurants before where I go in, I've got this big idea what their Italian food, it's an Italian restaurant. Don't you expect it to taste like Italian food? You know, if they were to serve hot dogs, that I don't think that's Italian, and I would be disappointed. You know, I've gone to some really fancy restaurants. I took my grandson to a, and my wife, of course, to a Morton's Steakhouse up in Cincinnati. And, you know, Morton's is supposed to be comparable to Ruth's Chris. Jeff Ruby is another one up there that's really good. But we said, well, let's try Morton's. And so we go to Morton's and we have get our steaks. They put them in front of us and it looked like burnt up squirrels. I mean, it was bad. And I complained. And I mean, it was like, okay, so I'm complaining to this waiter. He has this fancy white coat on and everything. He looked at me like I was some kind of a dummy. You know, how dare you accuse us of not cooking a steak right? But I dared, and I got another steak. But, you know, I had to wait about 15 minutes for it. I'll never go back to Morton's. They failed in a very important moment of truth. Now, if that guy had been really apologetic, oh, sir, I am so sorry. You know, that happens at times, and we are so sorry. I will go and prep one as quickly as possible and get it out of here to you. And then 5 minutes later, here it comes, and they maybe took somebody else's steak and gave it to me. I don't know. I mean, you got to do something. The manager should have come over and apologized, but they act like that and insulted their integrity because I complained. That's a moment of truth, and that's a way to lose somebody. So if you're running a business or know somebody who is, make sure they understand that it's so important to exceed the expectation with the reality. And when you don't, that's when, you know, you start seeing your traffic start to decrease, and people say, I wonder why nobody comes around anymore. You need to look real closely at those moments of truth. All right, I will be back in just 1 minute. You know, sometimes I do go off the rails a little bit. I do talk about business. I talk about many things, anything that I can do to help somebody. And, you know, as a consumer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been through this. You do it. Why do you put up with it? You know, why do we put up with bad service? You know, I went to a counter at a doctor's office, and the lady was just like, I am interrupting her day. And I'm just wondering, you know, I wonder if the doctor really knows this, that this is the way it was. So I told him, and I went back there, and I said, I just think you need to know something. You know, I'm not meaning to be a jerk or anything. Maybe she's having a bad day, but man, you're a receptionist. She acted like, you know, I was interrupting her day. He said, oh, I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what's going on, but I certainly will find out. And I hope, of course, next time I go in there, she'll probably, you know, throw rocks at me or something. But I think it's good for us as human beings to help other human beings get better and find a way to, you know, get along. You know, my cousin, I had a cousin named Phil Lawson, and he was a very successful labor law attorney, and he had a really bad learning disability when he was young, and his parents took him to, you know, this is back in the 50s, and his parents took him to Temple University. They didn't know what learning disabilities were, and so he actually went through the evaluation at Temple University. They were at the cutting edge of this, and they figured out that he had dyslexia. And, you know, just I don't know exactly what that is, but I know that that mixes up the words and turns them different directions and stuff. I know it's a big problem, but they figured it out. And they were able to help him. He also had a bad stuttering problem and just couldn't get through. Anytime he'd get in front of a group of people, he would just stutter and just get embarrassed and cry and so forth. So his parents said, well, let's fix this. And they never treated Phil like he was average. He said that my parents always treated me like I was an eagle. And I was meant to soar. I was not meant to be laughed at or to be considered average. And so Phil overcame that, went to law school, became a very successful lawyer, retired, actually had a prison ministry after he retired and would go into prisons. And he would speak to these people as if they were special. And they weren't used to that. And he would get standing ovations in prisons, and they would come up to him after. And he would say, you know, people would ask him, well, why do you do this? Why do you come to prisons and talk to us? He says, because you're an eagle and you deserve to soar. Nobody had ever told them anything like that. And so, you know, when you have an opportunity to intervene in somebody's life in a positive way and add value to them, do it. You know, don't wait. You know, sometimes they won't listen. You know, and they'll brush you off like a teenager or something like that. But it might just stick, and it might make a difference in their lives. So anyway, this is sometimes what I do. I appreciate you listening to this edition of My Car Guru. If you have any questions or any comments about this, send me your message to my cell phone, 423-552-2020, or email mycarguru2020@gmail.com, and I will see you next time.